Hi, it's Diane, and it is April 12th. I'm here with a Noom group, and I totally forgot to start the recording, so we're kind of three-quarters of the way through check-ins. And we have Martha, Sydney, and Margot here with us, and Velma, who's a brand-new member, and so I just was asking Velma to do a check-in and a celebration. Go ahead. Sorry about that.
Well, I had a great day with her yesterday. Jeff, excuse me, I'm really moved. By these conversations. Well, I'm surprising myself here. Because I haven't been able to have them with other people. So it's just really great.
Well, and so let's celebrate that you've made this commitment to yourself and your daughter and your family, and what a gift to give yourself to just kind of even connect in with other parents. And you know, I tell you, I listen to all you guys talk, and I think the same thing. It's like, what a gift to be able to share with each other and learn from each other. And
we're glad
to have you here, Velma.
Right. Thank you. So in any case, I've already learned a few things, and but I'm really happy that I have been able to get to a place where I enjoy my daughter these days.
Tell us, so your daughter's how old, Velma? How old is your daughter?
She's 18. 18. She's 18.
Cool. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So, all right. So let's loop back around and take aim. And I know that for some of you guys, you're kind of in more holding positions, but I'm going to challenge you to kind of think about where you want to take aim. So, Martha, let me go back to you. Oop, Martha, are you there? Oh, I wonder if she put herself on mute somehow. Okay, Sydney, you want to go ahead?
Yeah, I'm taking aim on, well, actually, so my daughter also has ADHD, and I think I'm taking aim on something that I took aim on last time, which is just getting a little bit more curious about where she is right now. She's 11 and in fifth grade, and kind of starting to go through puberty, but her moods are just a lot different, and I'm just wanting to get, you know, just take aim on that, getting more curious about kind of what's going on.
Okay.
You know, is it puberty? Is it social things? Is it, like I just sense a change in her, and, you know, she's always been my kind of sparkly, bright light, and, you know, sometimes as you get older, then, you know, things change, be it chemically or be it messages from the world or what have you. And I just kind of want to get a little more curious about that.
Okay. Love that. Great. Martha, are you back?
Yes.
I don't know what happened.
Excuse me, I had to take a call.
Okay. All right. So where do you want to take aim?
Now I did. Oh, we're taking aim. Oh.
Yes, ma'am.
Well, I guess I'm taking aim in seeing today he starts with a new counselor. So he's not been in counseling for a couple of years, and I just really felt that there was time that was needed. So I'm going to see how that goes in the direction, because, of course, now it's the day of, so he's resistant. So I'm taking aim at getting him to the first session.
So let's reframe that just slightly, because the counselor is actually a potential solution. So it sounds like the challenge is his resistance to going. So what's an ideal outcome from your perspective?
The ideal would be that he arrives and he goes through the first session.
So is it about getting buy-in? Is it about getting commitment? Is it about getting his energy up? What do you think the main challenge is?
I'm not certain of the because it just came up. He always waits, and he's all game. And then when it's less than 24 hours to do anything about it, and then I've already been out. It's been a full day. I hadn't even talked to him yet this morning or this afternoon now. But I think it's just the challenge of him buying in and willing to go.
Okay.
You know, that he's just willing to take that challenge himself and that responsibility because he agreed to it, so I signed him up.
Okay. Cool. All right. That makes perfect sense. So getting some buy-in and some commitment with regard to the new counselor and the appointment this afternoon. Right. Margo, what about you? Where do you want to take aim?
Staying with my check-in, the curiosity about what school is the right place, and finding out what he needs most.
So, Margo, what is it specifically about the school that you think is not a good fit? What's the challenge?
Well, I thought it was, excuse me, but the continuing challenge of him really applying himself in any form. I mean, if he didn't do well, but he put forth an effort, I think I would be okay with that. But he's not putting forth effort.
So what is it that makes you feel like it's the school that would make the difference?
Well, I had a conversation with somebody yesterday that planted that seed. And it's not like it's a huge school, but it's bigger than where he's ever been before. He doesn't participate in class, in most of his classes. Some of them he does. And so I asked him last night if he was happy there, if he liked being at school there. And what he came back with was that he would, kind of a, yeah, I'm okay there, but not certainly not enthusiastic. And the idea of a smaller place. In fact, he suggested homeschooling or a private tutor, which I have heard, you know, since grade school, and has never really been a practical option for us. What was that?
Oh, it sounds like somebody has some background noise. So if you've got some background noise, if you don't mind putting yourself on mute, that would be fabulous.
So, you know, based on that conversation, I'm certainly not going to pull him out, but I just feel like maybe there is more in that pot than I've acknowledged in the past.
So can I challenge you to stick with the challenge rather than moving to the solution of switching schools right now? Is that okay?
Yes.
Which is, you know, so start with getting curious of, you know, it's clear that he's not thriving, you know, and so if you can kind of dig in a little bit and get clear on what, you know, what's driving that. Is it, you know, that he's feeling, it might be that he's feeling lost because it's a big school. It might be that he's having a hard time with motivation with school generally. It might be that his executive function challenges are so significant that it's making it difficult for him to keep up, and so he's having a hard time keeping track of assignments, which gets into his self-esteem. I mean, it's kind of like I could make up stuff all day, but, you know, if you stay with that sort of what is it that's really kind of leading to this not thriving, you might decide that changing schools is a solution. But I can tell you that I've got a lot of parents that say, okay, I'm going to move my kid from school to school to school, assuming that it's the school's job to, and I'm not saying you're doing this, but, you know, assuming that it's the school's job to keep my child engaged, keep my child motivated, keep them performing. And the reality is that it may not matter what school they're in. It may just be something else that's going on. And so are you willing to take that challenge to kind of stay in the place of looking at the challenge of your son not thriving in school?
Yeah. Yes.
And so how would you describe more specifically what the word thriving means, or use a different word than what I chose thriving, not you?
For me, thriving would be actively engaged in the material for the class, besides the social. I mean, he seems to have a core group of friends that are, you know, various members are in various classes with him, and he socializes with a little bit outside of school. But otherwise,
okay, so actively engaged in class. And so I'm not going to take the time to do this right now because I'm going to move on to the lesson. But the next step, now that you've gotten specific and say the challenge is that your son's not actively engaged in class, and that's the place to get curious. So, you know, what does it look like to be actively engaged? How would you know that he is or isn't? How do you know, what do you think might be going on, that sort of stuff? So that's the point at which we begin to educate. So are you willing to kind of, and we can loop back if we have time, Margo, but does that feel like a good launching off place for you?
Yeah.
Okay, great. Vilma, so what?
Yes.
Where do you want to take aim for our conversation today?
I would like to figure out a way to interact with her first positively, to say something positive, and then to bring up whatever it is that needs to get done. You know, the idea that she feels she's wrong all the time anyway. So I've not been consistent with giving her very specific positive feedback to make
awesome.
Sure that she knows she's doing something right.
Right. And so what you hear is that, you know, you've got to find ways to give her correction and direction, but you'd like to find a way to do it more positively. And we're going to talk, so our conversation today will be great in that area.
Okay.
And also would suggest that you can go back, and if you want to send me an email, I can send you directions on how to get to the link to the Parenting Positively recording if you've got time to listen to another recording. That might be helpful for you as well.
Okay,
cool.
Yes, thanks.
So today we are talking about championing and celebrating, and it is part of the Parenting Positively critical response area. And I think that, you know, it's really, we all know this, and it's so hard to remember. It's that, you know, success breeds success. And the more we talk about what's working, the more we celebrate what's working. I mean, that's part of why we start each one of these calls with a celebration, because it's really easy to show up and just kind of be focused on what's not working as parents. And if we don't take a minute to go, okay, you know what? I was able to change my perspective on this, and I've made some progress. It's those moments that really do help motivate us more as parents, and they help motivate our kids as well. And so championing is about, you think about who a champion is, and I'm not saying champion as in I win. I mean champion as in, you know, the champion was the queen's champion was the one who always, you know, had the queen's best interest in heart, and always took looked out for her best interest, and always represented the kingdom. Well, I'm just thinking back to the word champion and kind of where it had its beginning. And I just happen to be reading a King Arthur-ish book lately, and so I kind of have been attached to this word champion differently lately. But, you know, our child's champion is someone who has their back and is constantly focused on helping them to, not winning, but helping them to win. And I think that that's a slightly different perspective. And celebrating is one part of that, because our kids, like I think one of you just were saying, you know, our kids screw up a lot. They get a lot of opportunity to be corrected, whether it's at school, whether it's at home. And so if we kind of keep that focus on what's working, and I love this phrase in the workbook here, it says catch them being good, which is a difficult habit to get into, it really does help them. By celebrating those small victories and keeping that positive, you can do it mindset, even if we don't believe it. Sometimes it's fake it till we make it sort of thing, or fake it till they make it. But, you know, if we keep that trust and that belief and that faith, and sometimes it's really hard to do, that's part of what can help our kids to be really much more content with themselves, much more internally feeling successful, those sorts of things. And that's why this is so important. And I think, Vilma, as you were talking about positive interactions, I'm thinking about a couple of tools that I've learned in my travels. One is kind of, you know, sandwiching, right? So it's like if I always learned this. I don't know if you guys have ever worked in a job, but it's kind of like when you have to give somebody their review or give them negative feedback, they always say you tell them one thing they did really well, and then they tell them the thing that they really need to improve on, and then you tell them another thing that they do really well, so that they know that it's not just the, you know, thing that they aren't doing well, that you're focused on, but you did notice the things that they do well. And so that's one tool. And then the other one that kind of comes up in this champion and celebrating is, and I think I've talked about this before, the ratio of corrections to praises. And I heard once that, you know, having a ratio of at least 3 praises for every correction is healthy. And if you want to have a good, strong relationship, that needs to be 5-1, which feels very daunting. At least to me it does, but probably to you guys as well. But, you know, what we want to do with this tool is to focus on, you know, where am I providing support and championing for my child versus focusing on what's not working. So I'm curious what you guys think about this concept and what comes up for you as I share those thoughts.
This is Vilma.
Go for it.
It's going to sound a little fake at first, thinking about 5 phrases. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
And she's going to look at me a little crazy. Are you crazy? You know, what have they been teaching you at school or something? So I'm a little concerned about that.
Well, that makes sense. Now, and so I think that one of the nice things, and it's true at any age, but particularly when we have older kids like we do, that part of the process is teaching them why you're using this tool. You know, and so because it's going to work, because what you ultimately want to do is you want to teach them to celebrate and champion themselves. You want to teach them to advocate for themselves. You want to teach them to look at the positive as much as they're looking at what's not working. And so part of this is, yeah, they did teach me this, and it's a really interesting challenge, and I think I'm going to take it. And what if we all took it? What if we all, and we did this with my kids. I don't know whether you guys have more than one kid, but I've got, my kids are only about a year and a half apart. And, you know, they get snarky towards each other periodically, and we went through this time period where they were both pretty hormonal, and I said, okay, anytime you say anything bad about the other one, you have to immediately say 3 nice things. And that was just, we just kind of used that 3-1 ratio, and we made it a house rule. It's like whenever you say one thing that's not, that doesn't feel so good, you got to say 3 building up things. And we were able to talk about the fact that because it feels yucky when all you hear is what's not working. So I guess that's my challenge to you, Vilma, is, you know, what would your conversation with your daughter look like either before or while you're trying to change your behavior that might help her as well?
I think that's a great suggestion. I can just tell her that this is something I'm planning to do, and I've seen it work on my job, and that it's going to be a little hard at first, but I'd ask her to join me, and would she be willing to try that herself?
Awesome. I love that.
Yeah.
What do you think is going to get in the way?
Time. You know, college kid is very busy and comes at odd times and not at other times, and just
interesting.
So I really have to pay attention.
So my challenge to you is to find creative ways to be her champion or to be more positive when you know that you don't have a lot of face-to-face time. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Awesome. Cool.
Right.
Other thoughts?
Okay.
Mm-hmm. part of what struck me in your definition of champion is that you have their back. And I guess in my situation, just being more intentional about letting him know that.
Yeah, and it's hard because our kids are at an age, most of them, where they don't want us to have their back. They want to be able to be independent, and they don't. And I've been having some very interesting conversation with my almost 17-year-old about kind of what my job is. And even as he gets more and more independent, kind of like, you know, it's my job to do everything I can to help you to be successful. And that, you know, no matter what, I've got your back. And what, you know, what would it look like? You know, what would be helpful? You know, where can I have your back that you would say, you know, because I'm not doing it for me, I'm doing it for you. You know, what does it look like when somebody's got your back? You know, you've played sports before. You know what the, you know, the analogy is. But it's that's isn't it a football thing, right? So you've got you're the back. You know, you're standing behind like the guy the guard does to kind of make sure you're not the quarterback's not getting smashed is kind of where I
right.
think this analogy comes from.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So I think of police officers where they back each other up as partners.
Very
yeah.
good. Yes. Absolutely. So it's kind of like we're more partners in this. What's my job? What's your job? And how can I help you to do your job? And how can you help me to do my job? And, you know, kind of ultimately, you know, we're in relationship with each other and how do we make each other stronger? As opposed to, you know, where our kids right now are, they want to separate. And it's natural that they want to separate because they've been so interconnected with us. And most of us have been directing their lives more than most kids normally would be directed, just because they haven't had the ability to direct it themselves. And so they kind of almost overcompensate because, you know, mom's been kind of taken over for a while. I don't know if that's true in your house, but that's definitely true in my house.
Mm-hmm.
Other thoughts? Sydney, how does this translate to your conversation about your daughter and where she's at right now?
I'm not sure. I really do try to use this a lot, especially with my son because he's so hypersensitive to even perceived criticism.
Mm-hmm.
And I just see them balloon up, you know, particularly him. When he's getting positive feedback. With my daughter, I mean, the only thing I can think of is, you know, over the last month, she had several weeks where she was being really kind of challenging and snarky, and we kind of had to bring the corral in a little bit on her, and as she made adjustments, then we were very much, praising her for being mm-hmm. less negative and having a better tone and interacting nicely. And so we have praised her a lot for changing her tone. And, you know, I kind of attributed that to possibly hormones and that kind of thing, but I'm not sure how it relates to just my being curious about, you know, what's going on with her, whether it's more than that.
Well, and I guess the question is how could celebrating and championing help you if your main goal is to really understand where she is right now so that you can support her? I mean, there's a step beyond where you're at right now. So you're curious about her moodiness because fill in the blank. What's the because?
And I'm sorry, you cut off it a little bit. I'm curious about what?
You're curious about her moodiness and kind of her mindset right now.
Oh, because...
Why?
Well, because I want to make sure it's more than hormonal. If it's something going on at school where she's getting negative feedback, if she's having challenges in her... you know, drama with her girl relationships, if she's feeling, you know, she's in a class with a lot of really, really bright kids, you know, a lot of kids kids designated gifted, she's not. And so I just want to make sure that it's not something else, you know, where she's feeling a little beat up.
You want to feel like she's happy and successful, right? Is that?
Yeah, and that she's feeling okay about herself. That's really it.
Okay. So if it sounds like then your real goal is to make sure your daughter's feeling okay about herself right now.
Right.
So how could championing and celebrating, and it sounds like, honestly, getting curious about that is absolutely championing her. So that's exactly what you're doing. A champion would be, okay, what does this person need right now? How can I make sure that I've got this person's back? How can I make sure that, you know, I'm doing what I can to feed and nourish, which it sounds like what you're looking for. Is that fair?
Yeah. And I would just say, I think we use a lot of positive. So I don't feel like that's, you know, a challenge for us. But I do think, I mean, I hear what you're saying. I'm just not connecting it to the championing her, except for, unless it's just that, hey, I'm supporting her as a, you know, really wanting to know that she's okay.
Yeah. Well, and so it may be that there's not, that you're feeling like you're doing what you need to do in terms of positivity. And I think that sometimes being our child's champion is a slightly different lens, right? So I might, my child might need advocating, which might not be positivity. My child might need, honestly, sometimes being my child's champion might be that I need to give them a little tough love sometimes. Being my child's champion might mean that I need to give them a hug. You know, so part of what I think being their child's champion is really kind of saying, what is it that my child needs right now, and how can I set them up for getting it? Does that make sense?
Okay. Yeah. And so on that then, yes, I think just my curiosity is trying to make sure that I know really what's going on and I'm not just assuming it's hormonal.
Right.
You know, that there's not something deeper. Yeah. So in that way, I think I am being her champion, just like I felt like I was being her champion when we really constricted, you know, the structure around her when she was getting kind of out of hand. Because she can be a little, she can definitely have some defiant traits. And so, you know, when she gets really like that, we kind of have to rein in, which is sort of that, you know, more tough love in terms of having more structures for her.
Right.
But then championing her, you know, better behavior as she exhibits it.
Love that.
So, yeah, no, that makes sense. That's a good perspective.
All right. So any other thoughts just generally? We've got a little bit of time here. We can do a little bit of laser coaching if people want to dig in a little bit.
I guess I don't know if this is a can of worms or it can be just kind of precise, but when it goes back in on having their back and, you know, really finding out what they need and wanting them to build their self-confidence and positive, well, I started thinking about my son and with his lack of motivation and how he's just not doing the schoolwork and all. And I thought, well, we usually are just positive and we're encouraging him, saying, hey, get in there and get some schoolwork today, you know, and that's about where we leave it because we do not, my husband and I don't want to push, right? And so it's letting him know we're encouraging him each day to try to, you know, think about it, but wondering if he really thinks I have his back. And then how would I have his back? I mean, I can't do the work for him. We have tried to, again, change schools to where he's in, to my opinion, he's in a very good place for meeting his needs. I don't think there's something missing in that respect. I think this is where he could really blossom. So is that just about, that's my side of having his back, is providing the right spot for him to do his schoolwork, and now it's really kind of back to where, okay, now your part, it's really in, I feel like it's in his court. But I also started wondering, does he feel that I have his back?
Well, and I guess the reality is that you feel like it's in his court, but part of what you need to do is to set up set a realistic expectation for what that means. Is that fair?
Mm-hmm. Right. Okay.
And so how could having his back, you know, how could, you know, setting a realistic expectation be having his back? How could
it gives him direction. It's back to where if they're kind of, they're wanting to be independent, but they still don't know how to be independent. And it's providing, I'm one that just definitely would say he fights wanting to have structure and to motivate him. But I think in my life when I'm kind of wishy-washy or not, if I don't have the vision, then, of course, there's no direction and motivation. So my husband is really strong at trying to help him come up with goals so that he knows what he's got a vision that he wants. What is it that he wants? So I think that as I'm talking it out, I kind of realize, yeah, we do have his back. That, you know, it is, you know, that we're providing what we can for him. And again, like I said, I'm thinking now we're just trying to be supportive and for him to move forward.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I think part of it is keeping that mindset, you know, so
yes.
Kind of like particularly as it's, you know, it's like kind of like what you were saying earlier about kind of going, okay, good luck with the world, right? And
but
so
without, yeah, quest- without being, without it being, yeah, sarcastic, like I have some of my friends that are children that are going to be 18 next month, or not next month, but like next year, and they've been going through cycles. And when it's a really rough week, they're like, I swear I'm going to be one of those parents that move, and they won't know where they are. You know, it's like, and it's that kind of a week, and I can start going, yeah, I understand where that feeling comes from, because you just get so, you know, they're just pushing you away so far. You're like, what if we left? What would you do? But without
right.
really doing that, but really saying, you know, good luck, and we're still here. You know, my parents always, I knew I could always go home and talk about anything I needed to, no matter how old I got, because I knew they were there for me.
Right. And the reality is that our, you know, even when our kids are in a phase where they say that they don't want us,
mm-hmm.
You know, the question, it doesn't matter whether they, you know, it doesn't matter whether they want it or not.
Yes.
Most of us feel like it's still our job.
Somehow, oh, that's
somewhere.
It. That's what I keep fighting with when I have to let go. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then knowing
yeah.
that, yeah, they still, you know, so I just treasure those times that he comes up and gives you a hug or tells you that you love him because he's a teenager, so they're rarer. So just knowing, yeah, we're getting through. There is a connection. And championing that time, yes.
Awesome. Okay. Any other thoughts? I probably have time for just a quick laser coaching or question if anybody's got something particularly that they'd like some advice or coaching around.
Yeah, I around timing. This is Velma.
Okay.
In the evenings, and she's on medication, so it wears off towards the late afternoon in the evenings, she is always so exhausted that almost anything I say, good or bad, pleasant or not, is sends her over the edge. I'm a little hesitant to. I don't know how to respond to that. That how to, you know, get something positive into her at that point.
No, that makes sense. And so there's
that?
A couple things. Yeah, so a couple things come up. So you know. There's two lines of defense. One is it's all about activating the brain, right? So they're exhausted, they're tired, they're hungry. You know, this hungry, angry, lonely, tired,
right.
Whatever it is, right?
Right.
And so, mm-hmm. you know, they don't, they, you know, and in fact, there's time of day that I, you know, I literally don't say anything to my son until after I've fed him because he's just so
yeah.
cranky. And that's the reality of the way he is that time of day. And so
yeah.
part of it is timing. It might be, you know, setting up a date at 9:30 at night once you know that they've eaten and they've relaxed and maybe they're getting their second wind, which if you're anything like me, you might need to take a nap for because staying up later is not always easy, right? And then the other thing is just kind of is being honest with her and saying, you know, I would love to spend some quality time with you, just kind of talking and hanging. Can we find a time on the weekend? Can we, you know, is there a time of day? You know, and then the other thing is technology is great. I mean, I can't tell you how many times I text my kids, even during the day when they're at school and that sort of stuff. And so it's kind of like finding those moments where you can connect and creating them, and then also kind of understanding what's going on in the evening and trying to prop that up with some food or some exercise. A lot of times I'll go for a walk with my daughter in the evening because she needs the exercise to kind of get her brain going again. Stuff like that where you're kind of doing more activating the brain. Vilma is what's coming up for me. Does that resonate?
Yeah. It's something between leaving her alone entirely and trying the gentle way to activate her brain. Yeah. I think this is just my appointment for later.
I try nonverbal type of things like food or, you know, walking with them. And I just try where it's just,
yeah.
I don't get into his space. I just try to provide a cookie or something, you know, that's something he likes.
Yeah, I found that if you show up with a peanut butter cookie at any time of the day, even if they say they're not hungry, they'll take it.
Yep. You might not get a thank you, but they will appreciate it.
Awesome. Okay. Awesome. Any other thoughts either for Vilma or other questions or issues? You guys want some thoughts on? Does this feel like an easy tool to use? Does it feel like a challenging tool to use? What's a daunting tool to use?
The whole thing, you mean? The championing and so forth?
Yeah.
Yeah, no. Yeah, that's terrific. Lots of opportunities to try different things.
All right, so let's answer our questions. So we're on page
41.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
So just take a minute and answer these on your own, and then we'll go back around. So what did I focus on or pay most attention to today? What's my clarity, a takeaway, or an aha? What's a realistic action step for me to take? And how can I set myself up for success with this action? To take just a couple minutes, jot down some notes, and I would love to hear from each one of you. At least one aha and an action commitment.
So this is Sydney. I'll go. It was just an interesting perspective to, you know, think about getting curious about what's really going on with my daughter, that is a way of championing her, just like sometimes providing a lot of structure is. I hadn't really thought of that. I'd always thought of the, you know, praising the behavior you want to see. So that was interesting. And again, it's just always good to be reminded of how important it is to point out the positive.
Mm. Love that. What do you want to commit to, Sydney?
Just having more conversations with my daughter, asking more questions. Just about school, about friends, about dynamics, about how she's feeling, just, you know, those kinds of things.
Well, and so what's going to be most important as you initiate those conversations?
Mm-hmm. I think just being truly curious and you know, wanting her to know I'm interested in her and her life.
Awesome. Cool. Who's next?
This is Martha, and I guess through the, you know, champion and your perspective of the champion of having the queen's back and having what's best for them and their best interest in heart, and then that bringing me up and talking it through with you on the, well, do I have it? Do I have his back? And then, yeah, I do, and I'm taking action to provide for him. And then the action that I would probably go forth with would be still asking him, getting curious and asking how, you know, what's his perception of it? Because, you know, you can have it all ducks in a row and still not be in a line because it's not where he's at. He's not on page, you know, the page with it. So you got to try to find out what he thinks and then come together again.
Mm-hmm. Love that. Yeah, because it's this hard balance of giving them what they want when they don't really want it.
Yeah, and if he says no, I don't feel that, then finding out, well, how would we show that to you? And, you know, what does it mean to him?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Love that. Great. Margo?
If she said it better than I can. Pretty much the same thing. To, you know, think through for myself what that means, but then also to be in discussion with him about what it means and how he feels it now, what he likes, and where he doesn't feel like we have his back. So getting his perspective, staying curious.
Okay. So is your commitment a conversation? I can't quite tell.
Yes.
Okay. And what is it going to take to make that happen?
Well, for me, thinking through, you know, questions or prompts to get started and then just having the time together, that actually was thinking of maybe going out to dinner tonight so that it's a different setting and we just have more uninterrupted time.
Yeah.
Sometimes it does take getting out of the environment. Love that.
Yeah.
All right, Vilma.
So my takeaway is that indeed she does feel wrong constantly. And that's just, you know, to emblazon that on my forehead so that I'm then prompted to using some of these positive tools. And my action step is to have this conversation with her about the one negative comment and three positive comments to enfold it in or to sandwich it. And I think we can do this when we drive to college, to the university together on Thursday in the car, just her and me.
Great. Love that. And I love how you've thought through kind of what you need to do to set yourself up for success with that conversation. Cool.
Yeah, I didn't at first understand that question, but I see it now.
Awesome. Okay. All right, ladies, great call today. There is next, when is the next, there is a Lifeline call actually on Thursday this week at noon. So if you want another opportunity to ask some questions, we're doing that call at noon. And we will meet again as a group on the 26th, and we'll talk to you then.
Okay.
Thanks, everybody.
Bye. Bye.
Thank you.
Bye.